In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my fellow wheat among the weeds. Which is worse? Outright rebellion or ignorance? Much of the world's history, and certainly at this moment of our own history, there are pretty much a world full of people who would say, who really cares? Which category does that fall into? The more you contemplate it, the more you study it, the more you realize just how razor thin the margin is between those who have no idea and those who know, but just don't care. Rebellion, ignorance. It's fascinating when you start to think through the fact that every single human creature is going to stand face to face with their Creator at some moment in the future, either death or judgment day. No one will have the option of simply shrugging their shoulders and say, who knew? I had no idea you existed. Not the slightest clue what your will was for my life or for the world in which I live. No one's going to get away with that. And in having heard the words you've heard this morning, it's no longer even an option for you to think that you could get away with that. So let's read again those words that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write about this subject matter. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Every single human being that's ever entered into this world started that journey with the moral voice of God echoing in their heart, in their mind, and their soul. We call it a conscience. And every single one of us has one. Whether we like to listen to it or admit that we have it or not, it's there. The equal challenge is the reality that from our very conception, every single human one of us is also the natural knowledge of God that opposes God at every turn. And so we wind up in this situation where we know that we're not God and we know that we're not right in so many things and so many of the choices we make, the words we speak, the way we treat others, the brokenness we bring into the world is on us. But by nature, we don't want to listen to God's answers. because his answers are so very different from every other answer we're hearing from any other source that we might pursue as to how to make this all work, how to make this right, how to make ourselves right, righteous, acceptable to God, to the human beings that are around us. Human beings don't like listening to God. It's a very simple, observable fact. We like to believe somehow that we will come up with a plan collectively, individually, over the course of time that answers the things that are most challenging at the center of our existence. To the dismay of scholars, whether those be ancient scholars or those be the scholars who present themselves as the ones having the answers on the endless number of networks and other media choices that you have available to you to listen to what other people have to say and try to figure out which side they're on and whether they're smarter than you or not, or whether you should listen to them or not, or whether they really have anything right or not. To the dismay of all of them, God has always reserved the right to the truth, to say things to human beings that human beings don't want to hear, because he is, after all, the one who made every last thing that exists. And he has also made sure that he has left us with evidence of who he is. Think on those verses for a moment. There really is an irony or an oxymoron presented there, doesn't it? When it says, what may be known about God is plain because from the creation his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. How do you clearly see the invisible? Well, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. The deeper we go in our examination as a human race of the nature of the universe that is around us, the farther we go out in space, the deeper we go into the structure of all things organism, all we do is find another layer. We find it infinite in both directions, and we come to realize, while we believe at times and moments that we've learned so much and we know so much more than all of the generations of humans that come before us, we don't know nothing. We might have cured all kinds of things, so we think. We might have had the ability to extend life from things that were once intended or understood to be incurable for another 10 years, 50 years, 15 years, or 20 years. But what has that got to do with eternity? What has that got to do with the overall arc of this universe's reality, its history, where we've all been and where we're all heading? God says all along the way, he has made himself known, not just to the general population, he's made himself known to you. That if you're looking for him, you're not going to have to work that hard to find him in everything that he has made. Even in the wonders of your own body and how it functions, how it heals, how it speaks to you in your moments of need, when you need rest or relief, sustenance, hydration, whatever it might be. You are an amazing act of miraculous power of God that has made you the unique individual that you are and that has chosen the moment for which you would live in this world. And all of that is about God making sure you have the ability to come to know him by his eternal power and his divine nature, for he has also left you without excuse. And yet, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, their foolish hearts were darkened. They claimed to be wise, they became fools, exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. We're forever finding our way to worshiping things that aren't God, that of our own making, our own creating. In other words, the world's always running away from the truth Because the truth doesn't allow us to be whatever we wish to be, to express ourselves however we might want or feel or need in any given moment, but rather just the opposite. God has the right to define who we are, how we will live, how we will treat each other, how we will understand Him. Everything about the world in which we live, when you spend the time scouring the historic scriptures, you will find God truly does have guidance and answer to everything. He's got a plan, and His will covers it all. And it never includes us creating anything or pursuing anything that replaces God at the center of our existence. And that leads to questions. It says, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desire of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. If we don't see a reflection of the world in which we live, the challenges of our day-to-day life, no matter who we are in this moment we are living, we have to ask ourselves the question, do those who refuse to listen to God, who live contrary to God's word and God's will, who are running away from God, will they get away with it? And the second question is, for how long? Paul's answers are clear in these verses. God has been making Himself known from the very beginning. He was present and observant and interactional on the day of the world's first sin. And human beings, despite all that God has offered us, have continually given in to the original temptation of replacing God, of working away from God, of running away from God as fast and as far as we possibly can. I recollect two different people in my life that challenged us to think about these things in their teaching. One, I went to a parochial school, was the sixth grade teacher that I had. He taught in the same sixth grade classroom in his home congregation in Kenosha for over 40 years. He pursued his master's in education from Northwestern, and he was a pretty deep thinker for a sixth grade teacher in the things that he'd tell you about. There's a lot of lessons from him that I remember, but one in particular was how he would talk about the pendulum swing of morality in the world in which we live, and how we will keep swinging back and forth all the way out to Crazy Town, and then the world in general will hear just how crazy and ridiculous and challenging that all sounds, and correction will be made. It will open people who are broken by all that craziness to listen to the fact that there are some timeless, eternal, objective answers in God's Word, and sooner or later, it swings back the other direction. My college philosophy professor had exactly the same illustration, which stunned me those years later. And that idea of how often the pendulum swings back the other direction, and we wind up over here in this area of conservative thought that goes beyond the scriptures and goes beyond God's word and locks people into a slavery to the law that isn't about the freedom that Christ has won for us in the gospel at all, but is more about comparative character and trying to determine which one of us is best and who's living a better life and who's right and who's wrong. That's not listening to God either. The point being, every time this pendulum swings back and forth, where we find the core of humanity moving is farther away from God, not closer to His truth, not closer to His revealed word. And that's hard for us to comprehend, because on a daily basis we're being fed this idea that humanity and the world we live in is always evolving and always getting better, and our answers for each other and our answers about our interaction with each other and the world in which we live will only continue to get better. And the conscience that God has placed inside of us, this knowledge of God that whispers and echoes throughout our lives, says, I am not so sure about that. And when you really observe it the way God sees it, humanity and the universe we live in is devolving on a daily basis. Things are only getting worse. The ideas that human beings come up with are only getting further and further away from God. And if in the back of your mind you've had this feeling as though this moment we're living in right now is maybe the worst human moment, when human beings have gotten farther away from God than they've ever been before, maybe you got something there. Because the only way you can take that measurement is to ask yourself the question, who's listening to God? Who's hearing the Creator's voice? Who is exploring the Creator's word and the Creator's will for their answers and their guidance to what is broken about all of us and this world in which we live? And where is that all leading us? God isn't hiding. God has never hid Himself. God has always made Himself available. That very first day of the very first sin, God came to Adam. God came to Eve. He looked them in the eye after they ran away from Him and hid because they were terrified of meeting Him face to face that day, as they had before in their existence, their perfect, glorious relationship and world in which they lived. They'd now broken it all. They'd now sent it on that path that we've followed all of these generations to where we stand today. In that moment, as that journey began, God made a promise to them. Your failures, your rebellion aren't the final reality. No, there's going to come a day when one of your descendants is going to reverse this curse and crush the head of the one who's tempted you and murdered you with his lies. And there will be victory, and there will be hope, and there will be forgiveness, and there will be eternal life that will be not only equal but better to the life you knew in the perfection of my creation before you chose the path of sin. And slowly but surely, over time, centuries, through generations, this God who makes Himself known has made sure that every word He's ever wanted human beings to hear from Him have been preserved in a book that's different than any other book you will find in its complexity and its comprehensiveness, in its message with its consistency over thousands of years of time, in its compiling as well as in its presenting to us, so that you and I, on this day in July, in the year 2023, know what God's will is, know where to find it in His Word, know how to celebrate this power and this glory, so that we might worship and serve God, who is the Creator and deserves our forever praise. Because we know what the weeds look like, and we know what the wheat looks like, and we know what we would prefer to understand ourselves to be. So it's time to put together some reaction to the clear, crystal clear, challenging and humbling Word of God we have in front of us today. Look at what He tells you will be likely the first sign you will see in your world when everything about your culture is going sideways and away from God. Where will human beings turn first and foremost consistently over the course of history? Doesn't matter what culture you've come from. Doesn't matter what geography you call home. Sexual immorality. It's the first place that humanity turns in its rebellion against God. And its devious nature and its diverse rebellion against God. I mean, over the course of time, humanity has been trying to figure out every which way to take God's good gift of companionship and intimacy and procreation and turn it into something completely different than God originally designed it to be in every way you can imagine it, no matter how you're labeling it, no matter how you're talking about it. And quite frankly, God's sick of hearing us pointing at all of the other type of sin out there as other people's problems, when we're not examining ourselves against the clear will in regard to his relationship design for men and women and the exclusive nature of relationship with two people committing themselves to each other for a lifetime. Every act of sexual thinking, activity, outside of God's clear design for all of this is sinful. It doesn't matter how you label yourself, it doesn't matter how you understand yourself, it doesn't matter what you do. And there's far too many people walking around this world not acknowledging their own brokenness in their own personal sin while they're judging other people that they see as off in the distance, really rebelling against God, versus understanding every one of them also being sinful and needing to hear what God has to say. So you have two choices. You can hear what God has to say and recognize that he says here in these words very clearly, he will give anyone who desires to rebel against him over to their own devices, and he will let them go do whatever they wish to do for as long as they wish to do it. It is futile thinking, it is dark, it is foolish, but he won't get in their way. And ultimately, if nothing about that ever turns a new direction by his word capturing their minds and their hearts to listen to his truth, they will be separate from God for all eternity. The degrading of their bodies with one another, the destruction that they're bringing upon themselves. Or are we feeling the pain? Are we seeing the brokenness in our own lives and in the lives of so many people very clearly and loudly asking for help, for answers, for direction, for guidance, to know where we're heading from this crazy town we're all living at the moment and what that means? So that through the guiding of the Spirit and the answers in the Word, we will all find forgiveness. We will all find the love of God expressed in His Son, Jesus Christ. We will all understand our own brokenness and our commonality with every other broken human being in the world that needs to hear God's voice and go together to the Word that presents that voice to us to listen intently as it shapes our understanding of ourselves and our world, as it confronts us in our sins and helps us understand the consequences of those sins, and as it also helps us see that we're never going to find any other answers than God's best answer. He's entered into this world himself personally to live every temptation, to live in the midst of crazy town human sexual immorality and overcome every temptation that came his way as a result, to offer himself as the perfect payment price in answer to every demand God is going to make against us in regard to our living with him forever. The debt's been paid. The perfect life's been lived. The substitution has occurred. And the one living for you, dying for you, and rising for you has accomplished everything you need for your personal relationship with God to not only be set right in this world right now, but to be an eternal relationship that extends on into the world to come. Those are the answers God gives you. And that's also the motivation then that God gives you to listen to him and to follow his voice away from the crowded world of nonsense. It's a remarkable thing that he's done at the cross. It's often called the Great Exchange. And the scriptures present to us Jesus taking all of our sin upon himself and giving us his righteousness as the payment we need to stand approved by God to live with him forever. But so often we don't see the rest of that. That Jesus is also giving us his righteousness as the power in our lives, as the continuing relationship, the platform on which we interact with him and get to know him and trust him and listen to him and follow him as he applies his perfection to our brokenness day after day after day as we sin. And then in response to that love and acceptance from the one who deserves our forever praise, we follow his voice in living for him in thanks and a desire to show him just a little reflection of the amazing, infinite love that he's shown us. So that when we hear passages of scripture like this, it doesn't challenge us and demoralize us and only rip us apart. It reveals the sinful cancer at the center of our existence in each of our own hearts, and applies the healing medication of the gospel, of God's love and his unconditional commitment to us and his eternal promises that will shape who we are and that will make us the contrasting beacon of light to a world that's always tripping further toward darkness. A God who loves us and has lived for us that we might live with him forever. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.